get lost in all of this too is, what was the guy from Hamilton, the phone
Ball
guy?
Jim Balsillie.
Like, that guy seemed to be in the mix until he wasn't, you know, and I don't know if that, what happened there,
I think the iPhone showed up as a big part of what happened there.
Well, yeah, I mean, product-wise, but I had always
the
heard
old
that
iPhone it, killed that one.
The iPhone was really troublesome for BlackBerry. Yeah, BlackBerry's like Blockbuster now. It's like no one even when was the last time someone even asked you about BlackBerry?
Although
everyone had a BlackBerry phone.
I know two guys Messenger. That use BlackBerry. I think they still use. They might have went away.
Really?
One is Anthony Stewart and one is Matt Nickel.
You're kidding me.
Dude, I'm serious. They swear by them. They tweet about it. They text each other about it and they love it. And they swear they're never changing, but I think they have recently changed.
I think at some point, like, you know, if you're in a group chat, someone's got a Samsung and it goes green. Like,
yeah.
What is a BlackBerry? It's probably just like a black, like you can't even read it. You know, if someone is in your group chat with BlackBerry.
Are they even like still functional? Like, do they still work?
I don't know. I mean, exactly. Is there upgraded, you know, an iOS, the equivalent of an iOS that you're downloading at night so that your BlackBerry is being ripped off? I know sitting beside,
and Brucey's on. We're going to get him in here in a second. Bobby Mack swore by the, like, to do his deal as the insider, and probably Dreg's the same. They swore by the BlackBerry.
BlackBerry was the OG, man. It was outstanding. Right. When it came out, it you know, it had the full keypad, remember? Like the full you were rock. It was like Research in Motion is the name of the company. It's still very valuable and they've sold, I'm sure, their IPs and what they've created. And you know, Balsillie, believe me, he's not living on the cheap. He's still worth a lot of money. But BlackBerry was like the king, and then the iPhone came out. And
that was it.
Curtains. Yeah, it was effectively game, set, match.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ryan Reynolds was calling up, you know, BlackBerry saying, do you want to get in bed here and try to go and own the Ottawa Senators?
No.
Things changed pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. Reynolds, I mean, such an easy guy to like, ultimately. I mean, imagine it was a celebrity that no one liked. You know, what would the reaction be?
Well, the guy for the Islanders, Ralph Macchio, like he's not loved by everybody because I think he was a huge Trumper, so he's pretty polarizing.
That's
like he's an Islander guy. Like I don't if Ralph Macchio goes to buy the Islanders, is everybody loving that or not?
I'm not sure.
Karate
probably
kid?
Split right down the middle, I would think. But it doesn't seem to be the case out in Ottawa. And let's head there now and catch up with Post Medium columnist and of course a TSN contributor. Here's Bruce Garriock. What happens, Bruce? What's the reaction in Ottawa if somehow Ryan Reynolds is not the future owner of this team?
Can I just say one thing before I start?
Yep.
I hung on to my BlackBerry as long as I could.
Wow.
Why?
I got into the States in 2019 and could no longer get emails. I had to give it up.
2019, man.
What was the notification, Brucey? Did it just say, wake up?
Yeah, and it was in Raleigh, and that was the time that Gordon Miller and my good friend Jamie McLennan forgot me at the hotel and had to send Gordon Miller back to get me. But that's a story for another day.
It was an iChat. They sent you an iChat, Bruce, and you couldn't get it.
I didn't, yeah, exactly. I wasn't in. That's when I thought I'd better give this up.
Yes.
You know what? I think, and I really believe this, that at this point, if the NHL walks out and introduces Michael Ann Lauer or the Kimmel family as the owners without Ryan Reynolds involved, I think there would be disappointment. If they go with the Remington Group and Ryan Reynolds, I think there will be excitement. But I think if they decide to go with another group, and Ryan Reynolds has made it pretty clear that he's all in with the Remington Group, I think if he's not part of it now, there would be disappointment.
Yeah.
Why did he attach himself, Brucey? Why didn't he just say, you know what, whoever gets the team, I'd like to come along and do blah, blah, blah?
Well, I think one of the things that happened here, and I do believe Ann Lauer was in here today, I think when he approached Michael Ann Lauer, there was no interest on Ann Lauer's part as to having him as a partner. I think the Kimmel family was quite interested in having him as a partner. I'm not sure where Nico Sparks or Rocco Tullio stood, but I think they probably would have been open to that idea. But I think when he sat down with the Remington group and listened to their vision and spoke to them about what their vision was for this team and for the city and for building a state-of-the-art arena, I think he was just very impressed. You know, I always felt from the start of this process that there was a mystery Canadian group out there that we hadn't heard about, that people around it told me they had the wherewithal to get this done. And I think that was the Remington group. And I really think that they impressed Reynolds. And guys, he doesn't just plan to be a part-time owner here. I said this last night on the broadcast. I think he's going to have a corner office. Now, that corner office will be in the basement of the Canadian Tire Center, so it won't have windows. But I think he plans to play an active role here, spend a lot of time in Ottawa, spend a lot of time developing a marketing plan. And I've had league executives tell me, guys, he's worth at least $20 million in corporate sponsorships to any team alone.
So that's where
just to the Senators.
Yeah, so that's where I'm going, Bruce. Like, when you think about it, it's not just a small layer. Like, you believe that the league really has to factor in the Ryan Reynolds effect, not only for, you know, sponsorship and stuff, but, you know, the fans involved. Like, Brian, before he brought you on, said, like, what if you're Andlauer and you haven't, you know, but you throw a bunch of money at the Melnick family and at the league, but now the fans are pissed off at you because Ryan Reynolds and you know, Deadpool are not involved. Do you think there's a layer to that that they have to be mindful of?
I think they'd get over it, right? I think the fans would get over it if the right product's on the ice, because ultimately that's all that matters. But I just think I think this is like a tap-in putt. I think it's something that in some way, shape, or form, the league has got to find a way to make this work. Whether that means, you know, ultimately joining Andlauer with the Remington group or figuring out some way to make it all work together. I'm like you, Jamie. I think there'd be disappointment here initially if Ryan Reynolds isn't involved at the start. I think that would be a hurdle they'd have to get over. And the one thing I know about Reynolds is that he doesn't want to just make this a national brand. He wants to make it a global brand. And look what he's done for Wrexham FC. I mean, Wrexham is coming overseas next season to play in San Diego. You know, we're talking about a very minor league soccer team that's taken on worldwide notoriety.
With Bruce Garriott, well, as you know, Bruce, the difference is that Wrexham team is in like the third level or fifth level. This is the NHL, and what there is a gamble here in terms of Reynolds, because as we've all pointed out, sure, everyone loves him now. If Ottawa's terrible for 5 years, if Brady Tkachuk demands a trade and gets out, is Reynolds going to come out and be talking about it? You know, is Deadpool people in the stands? Like, fans are fickle. They love you now, and they love that you're coming in and spending. If you're a terrible
owner, they'll
hate
you quickly.
They'll hate you quickly. And I don't know if Reynolds knows what he's doing in terms of putting a product on the ice or who to hire. Yeah. And, you know, why should we know that at this point?
Well, and one of the things, I was talking to someone about this today, Brian, one of the things that he and Rob McElhinney did do when they went into Wrexham was, number one, they spent money on management. And number two, they spent money on players. And I just saw a report in the Daily Mail in the UK today that I guess these teams have to make their finances public. And I think him and McElhinney lost something like £3 million despite a 400% increase in ticket sales and some kind of massive increase in merchandise. But that was because they spent more money on player acquisitions and more money on management. And, you know, they said that they're committed, that they want to move up leagues. So I believe they're coming in here with the same plan. You know, the one thing I think, and Jamie would tell you this too, get a goalie here, and, you know, there's no need to go down the Matt Murray road anymore. But Cam Talbot allowed 4 goals on 11 shots last night. I thought at the time that was a good deal. It hasn't worked out. But if they can get a goalie here And I think another tough guy, so you don't have things like went on last night with DeLaurier. I think you're in pretty good shape here next year.
Is the goalie you need the goalie you got rid of to get Talbot, Brucey?
You know what, though? Jamie, back me up here. You would have made that deal too, wouldn't you?
On paper, yes. Because
Guys, I'm saying is every time I turn the TV on, this guy's winning a game in Mini.
A kid in Mini's unreal.
I agree.
Fire.
I agree. Yeah. I'll say this. I think both organizations got what they want. Because if you look at Gustafson, 2 years ago, you knew he had the raw ability, but he needed somebody to play with and to grow. So he's got the safety blanket in Marc-Andre Fleury.
Noodles, in Ottawa, I think Minnesota likes Gustafson a little bit more what they have, a little bit more after a guy gives up a four-pack of nugs on 11 shots.
I know, but what I'm saying is on paper last summer, Cam Talbot and Anton Forsberg looked really good. Now, Talbot hasn't had a great season. He gets hurt at the start of the season. Now Forsberg has to play. Then Forsberg blows both knees out. Like, they haven't had stability in net all season long, unfortunately. So, on paper, it looked like the perfect trade for both organizations. Unfortunately, it just hasn't worked out. You know,
it has for many.
It has for many.
And I thought at the time, I thought that when the trade was made, I thought this is the one that people aren't going to talk about because everybody was busy talking about Alex DeBrincat. I thought this is the most significant move they've made. They brought in this guy, and it just three straight injuries. He's missed almost, I think he's pretty much missed 3 months of the season. And he has shown flashes of brilliance, but if I'm him, Jamie, I'm kicking myself that I didn't take their offer of a 2-year deal in December and run with it. Now, I think if he wanted to come back next year, it might have to be on a PTO.
Well, I mean, you know, Brucey, when you look at their group, you know, they've taken great strides. They've got a really good top four defensive core. They've got a good top six. They look good. But who's stopping pucks for them consistently next year? That'll be the question because Sogard, who's a good young goalie, he's 22. He's got to play. And I think I would argue he's got to play in the minors. So if you get Forsberg back, he's more of a backup or a tandem guy. You need somebody who can chew minutes there that they go, we're not worried who's playing net for us tonight. And they didn't get that this year, unfortunately, just based on injuries and not just one injury, multiple injuries where you're on your third, fourth, fifth goaltender, including Dylan Ferguson, who they had to bring in and stole a game in Pittsburgh that night.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the organization, though. They used six goalies here and eight in Belleville, or seven in Belleville. I mean, right. They just had a huge, huge issue keeping goalies healthy. And they will have to either sign a goalie or trade for a goaltender, no matter who the owner is here next year.
Yeah. Leafs in Ottawa tomorrow night playing the Sens. He'll be there. He is Bruce Garriock of Post Media and, of course, of TSN. It's always great catching up with you, Bruce. We appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Good to talk to you guys. Take care.
There he is, Bruce Garriock.